The prayer I would like to focus on is the Kol Nidrei. I mean, we had Yom Kippur during the whole weekend, so Kol Nidrei I think it's suitable to look at. And if we have time left, we will have a look at the Avodah, but maybe we don't have time for that. The Kol Nidrei in your Machzor is on page 163. And perhaps if you like, you can open it, then you can see also the translation beside it. Before we start comparing anything, let's have a close look at that text. It starts Kol Nidrei, which means all vows, oaths, promises. So let's keep it with all vows. B'nei Yisrael, of the children of Israel. Asher hima nodrim lecha, the vows that they promised you, Avinu, our father. V'na'am enehem elecha, while they were directing their eyes to you, hayoshvi v'shamayim, that's the form of hayoshev v'shamayim, so you who sits in heaven, lashuv elecha, all the vows that they did, that they promised to turn, to return to you, v'chol levavcham uv'chol nafshecham, so all the vows that we committed to return to you with all our hearts and all our souls. You should feel remembered to the Shema, that which is also all your heart, all your soul. Miyom HaKippurim Zeh Ad Yom Kippurim Haba. So from today till next year. So everything we do now till next year, may it come Haba Aleinu Letuva, may it come for us for good. Kulam ya'alu ve'yavo ve'yagia ve'yera'eh lefanecha lerachamim. They all the vows we make, they should come and rise and reach you and be seen, be appear in front of you in rachamim, in mercy. V'chadesh ruach nachon bekirbam, and renew the spirit in us. L'ma'an yasuru midachem hara'ah, so that we may go aside from bad ways, va'al yashuvu l'chislam, and that we not return to services of idolatry. If you would just repeat what I translated with your own words, what is Kol Nidrei in your prayer book about? Just say it with your own words.
It's a preparation for the, on one hand, the congregation, and on the other hand, Hashem, the Chazan asked for, that Hashem will receive the prayers in good order, and that the congregation, on the other hand, will pray the prayers with the right kavanah.
Yeah, don't look at me, please, let's talk.
I think it's about purifying the soul, making the soul heal and whole.
May all the services that we do reach God.
You have.
May also some kind of promise that we will all be very Jewish in the next year and come to church.
You heard a lot that the Kol Nidrei is a Beit Din meeting with the three people standing there with the Torah. Where do you see the aspect of a Beit Din in this text?
I don't.
Do others?
I would say in the Dutch translation, the part of Alle Belofte.
Yeah, you can see that.
Promises. Yeah, Alle Belofte, the second paragraph. Because you,
which is in Hebrew, ya'alu ve'yavu ve'yagi'u ve'yavu. You might remember ya'ale ve'yavo ve'yagia, which are so our wishes for the good month, because ya'ale ve'yavo is for a good month. Is that a Beit Din session? Do we have a Beit Din for announcement of new month? Just keep the question in mind and keep searching for where's the bit in.
Why do we say they instead of we. De kinderen van Israël, wij vandaag beloofd. Instead of we promised.
Ah, ja. Ja.
They
instead of we. Ja,
they instead of we.
Because I think a different person than they is saying the prayer. In this case, the Chazan is saying the prayer for the congregation, for two parties, Hashem and the congregation.
And more than the congregation, all the others.
Keep this also, please, in mind when we now start to compare. When we now look at other versions, let me say that this. Your Kol Nidre, for me, is completely new. Not completely, I knew that it exists. But if I would do your Kol Nidre in my congregation, I suppose they would completely ban me from Judaism in general. Yeah, because it's different sounds, and as they understand Hebrew, they suddenly understand what I say, they never understood before, so they would realize, I changed the Kol Nidre, and you shouldn't do that. The more common version, and probably when you look for music for Kol Nidre, you will find the music to this text. And this text is Kol Nidre ve'Asarei ve'Charamei ve'Kunamei ve'Chinuyei ve'Kimusei ve'Shavuot Din Darna ve'Ishtarna ve'Acharina ve'Istarna Al Nafshatana. Does anybody of you understand Hebrew?
No.
Tell me. What? So it's Aramaic. It's not Hebrew. And the meaning is all vows, bounds, oaths, devotions, promises, penalties, obligations. So we don't forget anything. Therewith we have vowed, sworn, devoted, and bound ourselves from this day of atonement unto the next day of atonement. May it come for us for good. All these we repent us in them. They shall be absolved, released, annulled, made void, and of none effect. They shall not be binding, nor shall have any power. Our vows shall not be vows, our bonds shall not be bonds, and our oaths shall not be oaths. Again, can you say me with your own words, what is it about?
Yeah.
Here is the Bedin. Where? Where do you see the Bedin? Yeah, and it is, this may be resolved, released, annulled, this is a bedin, it's about an annulment, a cancellation of something. Exactly. Here you have the bedin situation. Mm-hmm. Again, can you say me in your own words, what does this mean?
It's a language of a contract. Yeah. Dissolving the contract.
Yeah. What contract?
Between God and us.
Yeah, about what?
Everything that we promised. And
look closer at the text.
This is more, we have everything that we will not do again.
Is that? Do you all agree? She said it's about something we did already and we promised to not do it again.
From this day of atonement and to the next day of atonement, they come unto us for good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's about the day of atonement, so it will come.
It sounds a bit like
we've
been
bad.
When do we make the promises?
We on Yom Kippur.
Repent.
Today, on Yom Kippur, and in the coming months. So imagine today is Yom Kippur, so from today till next Yom Kippur. Yeah. And these promises, we all regret deeply. Can you explain? Because I don't understand it. Can you please explain how can we repent something we will do in the future?
Because we promise things to not do, but we know we are doing them. So we are repenting in advance.
Okay.
No, we repent for what we did, and we hope for forgiveness.
But here you don't repent for anything. There's nothing in the past. It's the. When you say it in just your own words,
we
you
have.
But
excuse me.
Not all.
We have vowed. We have vowed.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
Swore.
Bound. It's
and we hope that it will be a no. Because we repent. Because the cause of our relationship.
You don't know whether it's a no.
Yes, yeah, that is compacted.
The text, in a way, is, I hope you agree with me, it's somehow a bit strange. When we look at other prayer books, and I took the prayer book of the Reformed Congregation in Berlin from the 19th century, because that has extreme solutions. Here it starts with the text, so dear to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, my God, I trust in you. Oh, let me not come to shame, save me in your mercy. And then the choir sings, out of the depths I call to you, O Lord, hear my voice. Then the rabbi, the preaching person says, forgiveness will be to the whole congregation, and the choir sings with Nislach Lechol Eda and so on. Then comes a song before the sermon, and then the sermon, and then the song after the sermon. You heard that yesterday, that it was a German tradition that there's songs. And then the service with Shema and Amida, mostly in German in that congregation. So where's the Kol Nidre? It's gone. And I don't know, did they sing the beginning with the melody of Kol Nidre?
Yes, yes.
Ah, okay, so they sang, Zu dir. Ah, okay. So the melody is there, but a different text. The text is actually, the first is a German, it's a poetic version of Psalm 29. Psalm, 130, sorry, that's a mistake, it's 130. And the quote, forgiveness will be to the whole congregation, that's Numbers 14, a quote. This introduction into the Yom Kippur expresses very much our feelings. So we wish that to God is reaches our soul, may reach God, and we pray that it's not be for our shame, but that God may listen. So it expresses very much all our feelings that we have. And Kol Nidre is not there. So it's not. It's also not called Kol Nidre, of course. You can't call it a Kol Nidre service. But it's the service at the beginning, at the evening of Yom Kippur.
Right.
Another version is from the Einheitsgebetbuch, where Psalm 25 is missing, and they start with Psalm 130. I will correct it later in the presentation. And then the quote numbers. Just to that you don't forget, the in the traditional, so in the older version, you have before Kol Nidre a short quotation of Rabbi Meir from Rothenburg, who says, by the authority of the court on high and by authority of the court on earth, with the knowledge of all present and with the knowledge of this congregation, we give leave to priest with them that, to pray with them that we have transgressed. Then comes Kol Nidre, and then comes the numbers verse. So instead of the beginning, the declaration, we now pray in the midst of sinners, and the Kol Nidre, you have Psalm 130, and the last is actually a traditional part, Numbers 40, belongs to the old part of Kol Nidre.
And that's the end of the story of the 12 spies.
Right.
Look at that right now.
Yes? Right. Last look at something today in the American Reform congregations. That if you want to have a look later at this book, they start with private meditations, a long list of private meditations. They're not meant to be read loud, but you see it's quite a lot of pages. Quotes from Midrash, Talmud, Hasidic stories, but also modern authors. So typical for a liberal prayer book to have quotes from all over the tradition. Then the ark is opened and a prayer is said, Sovereign of the universe, in awe and humility, I have come to stand before you to pray with your people Israel on their behalf. The prayer continues. If you are interested, have a look at it later. Then candle lighting, which of course traditionally you wouldn't do. You do it at home, but you do it in the... It's all not Kol Nidre, as you notice. It's a lot of before. Then a meditation. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and he did this covenant and that, and he also created the temple. So it's a long text about a meditation, about the covenant, God's relationship to us. And then you have the Meir de Rotenburg introduction. So we stand here in the midst of sinners, and the Kol Nidre in this text that we just had, the traditional text, which doesn't make sense, we repent everything in the future, is sung at this place. Which is surprising, because normally liberal Judaism would say you have to care for what you say, and not say something...
That used to be, now we don't care what we say. Was the melody is nice.
The thing is that the most important in Kol Nidre is actually the melody. When you hear it, I don't even have to sound it. When you see this and you have it in your ear, and when you hear this sound, you feel Yom Kippur, isn't that so? Yeah. It's not when I say all woes be annulled, that's not Yom Kippur, but when I, no, then you know, oh, it's a bit strange in this time of the year, but you all understand what I want to say with the melody. So when you hear this, you remember the past year, you feel your identity, you think about promises, your life, think about your family, past high holidays, so everything that is Yom Kippur connected to comes into your mind. You don't listen to the text. So that the text is Aramaic, it doesn't make sense, it's not so important, as long as you have this melody, and perhaps also the sounds. It should start with Kol Nidre, and not with my God may come before, that's strange, but you have to hear Kol Nidre, and this strange, as a mantra, it's something that brings Yom Kippur. So is it actually all the music, and is the text not important at all? It's also interesting that at Kol Nidre, people come in time. Normally, but on Kol Nidre, you are there to hear that melody.
And this is the carrier for the thinking and the reflection. For me, it's very important. The music makes the atmosphere.
Yeah.
The music starts my reflection process and not the text.
Yeah. Please excuse me that I look at the text now. So that was the point. The music is the important thing, but to understand our prayer book, we should look. Allow us to look at the text. It's about oaths and vows and promises in the original. I start with the older form, not with your version, but with the second version I introduced to you. The Torah says, if someone makes a vow to God or takes an oath imposing an obligation on himself, he shall not break his pledge. He must carry out all that has crossed his lips. That's the Torah. And the Torah gives no solution what happens if you break an oath. As a woman, you may, because your husband can say, well, she is not to be taken serious. That's the Torah says, I'm sorry. But if a man makes a vow, it can't be annulled. There's no possibility to annul an oath. The Halakha saw the problem and created a legal formula, therefore you need the Beit Din, a legal form, anyone who wishes that his oath has no force all the year long should arrive on Rosh Hashanah, not on Yom Kippur, and say, any oath that I will declare in the future shall be null, and this declaration is effective, provided that he remembers this disclaimer at the time of the oath. So if it happens, because we all know we may promise something, for example, I promised you I made the PowerPoint presentation with the Nusach in color, I couldn't keep the promise, so we all do that, and to avoid that we do something which is binding, it can't be annulled, this is a solution to give us a possibility to absolve it, and this is from... Yeah, all the vows in the future, yeah, they're from today till, so that I make it in the beginning before I make any vows. And the Halakha says, this is in case of emergency only. Of course, you can't say, well, I promise you to give you that and that till next time, because I know I can say it. So this is really something for if that happens, there is a possibility to make that row unspoken. The liturgy, however, started not on the basis of that Talmud, of this halachic text. It started differently, and actually the origins of Koine Drei are completely in the dark. We don't know when it was said. Often people connected to Spain and Meranos, they were forced to become Christians, and they knew that in the coming year they would be forced to convert, and that they would regret it. But it's actually older, because in the oldest prayer books, in Amram and Amram Osatya, they already say there are congregations who say Kol Nidrei at the beginning of the Yom Kippur service, but you shouldn't do this. This is a strange... So it's already quoted in the 9th century. So it must be somewhere in Byzantine times. It's completely in the dark. And I don't want to go deeper into that, because that's really academic discussions. So we don't know where it comes from, but the older versions of Kol Nidrei have... it's a bit a different text, as you see. The Sephardi version actually kept the older version. What I wanted to focus on is the blue one. That all the vows and oaths we made from last Yom Kippur to this Yom Kippur, we regret and we repent. It makes sense.
Okay.
I mean, compared to... So there is She'avar, Yom HaKippurim She'avar, and in the Ashkenazi versions, it's Yom Kippur Haba.
But the Sephardic version makes more sense.
Of course. The Sephardi version makes completely sense. All the vows in the past we did, between last Yom Kippur and today, we really regret them. Yeah. That makes sense.
Except, of course, except if you're now Giftach, you promise if I win this war, the first thing that I see when I come to my home, I will sacrifice.
Yeah.
The first thing happens to be your only daughter.
Yeah.
Then if you have to wait till Yom Kippur to be released from that vow, it's a bit late.
Yeah.
You would rather have done it out of the beforehand.
So you make a promise, but don't tell when you start.
If you reserve the right to cover yourself for that kind of thing, you take out your insurance before the accident, not after.
No. Don't think too quickly. So you have a Rabbi Lilienthal explanation, and I give you Rabbeinu Tam's explanation, which is a bit earlier. Rabbeinu Tam said that this prayer, and there always were problems with Kol Nidrei. So Rav Amram said, please don't do it. It doesn't make sense. We shouldn't do it. And Rabbeinu Tam also said, it doesn't make sense he had the problem. If someone broke a promise, you can't just easily repair by regretting. For example, I really regret that I didn't make this PowerPoint presentation with a nusach in color. It doesn't help that I say, well, sorry, keep it as if I wouldn't have promised it. I promised it. So it stands. And Rabbeinu Tam says that's not according to the halakha. To say something, to make vows, and then say at the end of the year, well, it didn't really mean it like this. So that's not possible. The halakha said, and you saw Talmud Nedarim, you have to say in advance that all the vows might be annulled in the future. And then, when in the future you make a vow, then you can say, well, I said in advance this disclaimer, and now I go back to the disclaimer. When you haven't said the disclaimer, you can't just come and say, well...
Yeah, but it's supposed
to be the four.
When you buy the house, and you put in the contract, on condition that the bank will give me the credit.
Precise, yeah.
If you don't get the credit, then the promise is not valid.
Correct. Good example.
To both.
So we have now, according to the halakha, it's really fine. We are on the good side. According to the sense of the text, we are not, because now we have the problem, all the vows that we make in the future, we regret. Yeah, and we have another problem. That was in the 12th century. Yeah, he changed the text, Yom HaKippurim Hazeh at Yom HaKippurim Haba, and protection for hastily made vows in the next year. we are in the 12th century, and now in medieval times, there were Christian-Jewish disputations. There were not disputations, it was Christians inviting Jews to prove that Christianity is the right religion. And these disputations, some begin with, please make an oath that you will tell the truth or so, and then the person regrets, doesn't make an oath, and it comes that you can't trust Jews because they don't keep their vows. And you see in Kol Nidre that they say in the beginning of the year it will be annulled anyway. So it was a text to give anti-Semitic arguments. It was the text. You see here, it's written. They say it themselves that it's not.
And
yeah.
Jesus forgives
everything.
That's
so. So now we are in the 21st century, and what shall we do with Kol Nidre? The text nourishes anti-Semitic prejudices, and it doesn't make sense. Do we want the Kol Nidre? Do we want this prayer? One answer is no. And Reform in 19th century, they said the halakha is not binding. It's interesting, but it doesn't bind. But it's not binding, so we don't need this disclaimer. So the halakha is not the point. What does the text mean? The text doesn't make sense. It gives Christians a strange opinion about Jews. So let's don't do it. Let's start the service differently. When you want to keep it, the question is, do we mean what we say in Kol Nidre? One solution would be, it's like a mantra, it's like a meditation. The words are not important, they are Aramaic anyway. Today it's not a problem with anti-Semitic, for example in America or so, when you say the Aramaic Kol Nidre words. The important thing is the melody. We don't care what we say. That would be one possibility. The other possibility is that you keep honest to the liberal tradition, that it's important. We have to believe what we say, and then you come to a version like this, where you have the melody and the text, which is really a good text. The problem there is, where is the Beit Din? So why do you come with three persons and the Torah? And you wonder, I mean, we had that yesterday where someone said, well, I don't understand, why do we do this ceremony? Because it's actually a wish that this God may listen to what we say.
It's simple. What should I blow the shofar? And the shofar is the cry for help. And we can't blow shofar in Yom Kippur, so we bring out the Beit Din and they plead for us, with the same three hands. Make it impressive.
That's your method, yes.
Make it impressive.
It's your method, I see.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Make a show, yeah.
I'm looking forward to the new muscle.
Are there questions, yeah, comments, before I go to the... We have actually really time to focus on another prayer. Are there questions to what you heard so far, or comments, or your thoughts, or let's...
The text that we have in our Machmesura derives from the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm waiting.
You're what?
I'm waiting. Where is the text that we have here? Kol Nidre B'nei Israel, then from?
That's the Einheitsgebetbuch. That's the old German text.
Yes.
Also, it was taken, and I think it's Einheitsgebetbuch, but we was taken from. This book is really a Dutch translation of an older German book, pre-war. And you'll find in other refugee congregations, like Ibiza Square in London, or in the Ari Synagogue in Rio de Janeiro, or you come in the Temple Israel in Toronto or in Melbourne. You find the same prayer books, you find our melodies, you come in, you feel right at home. Because they are the ones where the German refugees went to.
Yes.
And they have the old prayer books, and they have done their new prayer books, just by translation, adaptation. We have the Amsterdam Kedusha, which is a Hebrew translation of the German.
Yeah.
In America they call it the English Kedusha. Right? I think in English.
Not the German. They call it
German. No, the English Kedusha, because that piece is sung in English.
So you said the name of the original source.
Something called the Einheitsgebetbuch.
Okay.
That is in the German situation where, after the big fights with the Orthodox and the Reform movement, they made agreements that in each city there would be one congregation which would run different types of synagogues. And they would have Reform and Orthodox rabbis in the same congregation with a division of tasks. And I say a bit cynical, the Orthodox rabbis were dealing with Kashrut and Gittin, and the Reform rabbis were dealing with the people. It's not quite true, but to some extent, yes. And then they tried to make a prayer book that would be available to all people, to everybody.
But there's an Einheitsgebetbuch for Berlin, which I showed you in the previous, an Einheitsgebetbuch for Frankfurt, an Einheitsgebetbuch, I think, for Munich, so there were different Einheitsgebets, so the unity was only in, in part.
So we don't
know
the source.
Yes, we know the source. I have it at home. I'll show it to you.
Okay. and I think it's actually a very, very good solution, because you can sing the melody to a text that makes sense. But I think you understand that when I, in London, to a British congregation who doesn't have this background, when I would start to sing this Hebrew text, they would kill me. Because they're not used to hear this. And how can you change going
away? But you're in a conservative congregation.
Yes.
Yes. But in the liberal congregation, they don't have it. They play the cornidra on the organ, the melody, but there's no cornidra in the text. The Reform have...
They have different options. They have a Hebrew text, an Aramaic text, and they have a footnote in the back. And they have a freer translation.
Yes.
So when you read the English, it's not what it said. The Hebrew is, I think, the traditional text, and the English is a very good new text, which is
not. This is interesting, because they have the Ashkenazi text, and it's still a much more Sephardic tradition. From they may be absolved from the vows and obligations we make to God in vain. From this Yom Kippur to the next, may it come to us for good. The duties and the promises we cannot keep.
That's a different translation.
The commitments undertaken which should never have been made. We ask to be forgiven and released from our failings. So all the promises to our fellow men stand, though all the promises and to our fellow men stand, may God annul the empty promises we made in our foolishness to Him alone. Deceive us and their consequences. Do not hold us to vows like these. Do not hold us to obligations like these. Do not hold us to such empty oaths.
And the thing is, when you can't understand the Aramaic, you would think you sing this text.
מיום כיפורים זה עד יום כיפורים הבא עלינו לטובה עולם יעלו ויעבור ויגיע ויראה וירצה וישמעו מלפניך ברחמים וחוף את יצרנו ותן בלבם להעבר ליראה את שמך הגדול והנורא. So that's a variation on our text also.
Right?
So both of them.
But it's actually, the translation in your book is an interpretation of the text.
That's British Reform. So it's also not my congregation.
No,
but yeah.
This is English Reform, which is the more traditional liberal one in England. Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting how they rework the text to get around the problems. And Anna, you have the Kol HaNishama. That's the American reconstruction.
It has the original text.
Yeah, but that's not surprising. Right. But that's what they do, that they have Judaism as that's the cultural heritage, so we have the traditional text, but we give it different interpretations. So,
In the American Reform movement,
there was a history to that thing. In the 19th century, they decided not to say the Kol Nidre at all, and they had played on the organ, or even better, since they knew the Bruch's Kol Nidre, then they always a cellist was hired to play the and it's still done to play the Kol Nidre melody, but the melody was not said or not sung by the Chazan. And then in the Union Prayer Book of the first edition of Union Prayer Book from the very beginning of the 20th century, there is just one line. Instead of Kol Nidre, it says the melody of Kol Nidre is played, but doesn't say what it is.
Yeah.
The melody of Kol Nidre is played. Then, in the later on, the reform movement had pages with the traditional text of Kol Nidre inserted. In other words, when you came to the synagogue, you got a machzor. And next to the machzor, there were pages that you were allowed to take and put them into the machzor.
Yeah.
And that is how they started to reintroduce the Kol Nidre. And then, before the Kol Nidre, the rabbi would have a big disclaimer and would say on sins between God and men and God, Yom Kippurim atones, but promises between men and men, Yom Kippurim does not atone. And this is the way that finally went into the gates of repentance.
Yeah.
So you have the traditional text, traditional Ashkenazi text, but you have a disclaimer in the beginning.
It's Yoma text, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Yoma. It's Yoma, Yoma Kippurim. Yeah.
That is well thought of.
What?
Hmm?
This is very interesting.
Very well thought of. Disclaimer between you and God, not disclaimer between men and men.
Yeah, in other words, the idea is to avoid this kind of anti-Semitic accusation of Jews.
Yeah.
In the Middle Ages, it was very, very difficult because the Jews had to swear a special oath, which was called Morei Judaicum. And they had to do it under very severe punishment and severe. The ceremony itself was very degrading for the Jews to swear because the Christians did not believe that the Jews keep the promises.
In this prayer book, this is the new Machzor, Media Judaica. They published very interesting prayer books of different sorts. They also have the Yoma quote. For transgressions between a human being and God, repentance on Yom Kippur brings atonement. For transgressions between one human being and another, Yom Kippur brings no atonement until the injured party is reconciled.
And here we have it immediately before Kol Nidre.
Yeah.
So we have this disclaimer, then the ark is opened, then Meir de Rotenburg, and then Kol Nidre.
Yeah.
Can I ask, what is the source from this text?
Yoma.
Yoma
Benke. In Jerusalem.
Please say Yoma Ma.
Babylonian Talmud Yoma number. You have it there?
No.
The source is here. Just when I'll find it again.
In Jerusalem, we have five times Kol Nidre. The first time, at the beginning of the service.
Mishnah Yoma. Chapter 8, Perek 8, Mishnah 9.
So in Jerusalem we have Kol Nidre five times. The first time, in Hebrew we call it Jerusalem, the first time the cello plays the Kol Nidre, at the beginning of the service, cello plays the Bruch Kol Nidre. Then we say three times the traditional text of Kol Nidre, the Aramaic text.
Right.
And then the rabbi reads the Hebrew text, the text that you are using, it's another variation of this text. We call it the positive Kol Nidre. There is a three-time negative Kol Nidre, and a one-time positive Kol Nidre.
Well, the last one is, in effect, kind of an excuse for the first, the original one.
Yeah, right.
Okay, yes.
Okay, should we spend some time on the...
Yeah. I just want to draw your attention on another problem, which is interesting to compare our Machzor here and other Machzorim. In the center of the Yom Kippur service, that is in your Machzor, in the Musaf Amidah, and this is clear because Musaf is the Amidah for that day, and in the middle of the Musaf Amidah, it's all about what is Yom Kippur and what is Yom Kippur generally. It's let me say it from a Reform perspective, it's a very strange antique ritual. It's all about priests and sacrifices, and normally we don't pray for sacrifices. Traditionally you pray, be they be restored, and we wish to have them back, and you wouldn't find anything of that in this book. But suddenly on Yom Kippur, it's there. There you see, it's in the Musaf, and in the Musaf, it's in the Kiddushat Hayom, so this is really the core, this is what Yom Kippur is all about, and this is the center of the whole Yom Kippur, this Avodah service. Your version is not very, it's not so special as the Kol Nidre, but it has many, for example, the British Reform and US Conservative have a similar approach. What it is actually, it's a study of Mishnah Yomar passages. This is the high priest, and then we quote what the high priest said, and around this is a study. So this long text in Dutch, in former times, the priest did that. So we study past times, so to say.
You're now talking about the text which is in the Machzor itself?
And you got it on the paper, where it starts with the creation and the covenants. So it's all study passages. That is in the book. That's the text in the book. But it's similar also on the paper, that you have long study passages. And in this study, you quote what the high priest said. I will have a look to the Reform tradition outside of the Netherlands and to the traditional tradition. Let's see first, what do other liberal congregations do? But the first thing is that some liberal congregations don't have a Musaf service. For example, the English, what is called liberal in Great Britain, or what is called Reform in the United States, because Musaf, what is Musaf? Musaf is an additional sacrifice, and the Musaf prayers, all the Musaf prayers, are, you quote, the sacrifice. For example, traditionally in Shabbat, the Musaf is all about that you quote the three lambs and so on, what you do there. And so the Musaf is said because of that section. So when you would be really consistent, you would say the Musaf is about sacrifices. We don't do them, so we skip the Musaf. Yeah.
So no beautiful melodies in the U.S.?
They are in the Shacharit. No, the beautiful melodies are... Shacharit becomes the important... Amidah.
We have the same thing.
Yeah.
On Shabbat, we sing the Musaf Kedusha in Shacharit.
Right.
Yeah, we have the pieces that are different, except for the in the fourth bracha we have a piece in the Musaf which replaces the sacrifice. Yes. If you do the Musaf, and all the other specific Musaf things we move to Shacharit. That's what they do here also.
So if you have. If you don't have a Musaf service in your tradition, so for example in America or in liberal in Great Britain, what to do with this core of Yom Kippur? I mean, you can't say, well, we skip what Yom Kippur is all about or what. So what they do is that after the Torah service, they have additional prayers, or it's called From Creation to Redemption. That's the American version, and that's long study about the Jewish history from the creation, and then it was Abraham and Jacob, and then there was also the priest and they did something in the temple, and then there were the prophets, and then we came to the land of Israel. So it's the whole story, and in the part of that story we all know was the temple, so we can mention some sacrifices when we mention the temple, but it's not that we do that to do it today, so that we read them to do the sacrifices as you would think traditionally, that you really, by reading the Avodah, you do it by studying it. That's gone. So it's all a study about history of Judaism and what was it about, and part of that was, of course, the temple. The traditional avodah is a long piyut. It's a long poetic part which has also these Yomar quotes. The high priest says Ana Hashem, and then what we also quote, but it's embedded into a long piyut about God and his power, and the creation is also, so it's about the history of God and his relationship to people. But it's said to enact ritually what's done at that time in the past, so to bring it to the present. And it's also dramatized, but you also did it, that you fall down while quoting what the priest said. That was just to show you that this is also a part which is very different in different prayer books. That was what I would have liked to focus on. Are there things you would like to add or things to comment?
No, it's just that if you look at our Masoret, we have in essence 5 times or 10 times the same service. In the evening and the morning it's with the Shema, and then we get the Amidah, and in the Amidah you have the whole Slichot section, and you have it when you read the silence, and you have it when you repeat it. Only in the Nila, the Ochi Hashamno, it changes, and the Al-Chet is gone, and we get something else instead. But the basic structure is the same all through. And then there are additions in the different piyutim that are inserted, different piyutim at different places, and the ones that we never really get to, unfortunately, are the ones in the Mincha, which are also very nice piyutim that should have more attention than we give them. Now, in the other prayer books, they have added meditations, readings before you start the service, or when you come to the synagogue. As I say, in the olden times, the Hasidim, the people who went there not for the social thing or for the coffee, but for the service, they came a bit early, sitting down, meditating an hour beforehand. There are texts to read, things to think about before you get in the mood, before you start the service. The piyutim have also in part been changed. There are more modern texts, other texts inserted. And I've been doing this. Those of you who have been to my services know I add in other little pieces, not all about boys and old men, but other things also, to get some more relationship between old texts and to our own situation. So I had here one or other.
I wanted to finish actually with your text.
Yeah, we had. I don't know if somebody took it with them, because I don't find it. The books are maybe the additions to the service. There are new, not translations, but reworkings of the Al-Fayt.
Yes.
So that you get
yes.
an Al-Fayt.
But we looked at them last time. Yeah. Therefore, I didn't do that yes. this time. Because last okay. time we had to look at them.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Fine. So, when we now starting to work on a new Machzor for the high holidays, we are have this basic thing with all the music you're learning, all the things that are there, and there should be, the structure should be there. Being recognition, the enormous importance of the music. I mean, we were sitting here and singing, and it felt like Yom Kippur. Yeah. You know, it cuts through the music.
Yes, that's right.
You know, it can snow outside, it can be whatever you want. Inside, at that point, of that moment, it works like Yom Kippur.
That's right.
And the power of the music.
But I really have now a question to you. Because this reason I understand very well, because music is my life, so the music makes everything. But when I start reasoning and listening to your story, which I admire very much, then there's only one simple question. Why do we need all this stuff? Why do we need it? What is the drive that we always go on and on and on and on to keep it inside?
We have
avoid.
Yeah. I just, when I answer personally, so why do I need it? The more I study the text, the more intense I can present them in the service. So when I pray and I know what this prayer at Shabbat or what Kol Nidre is about, so it has a meaning for me because I studied it and I made it meaningful.
Okay, but you changed the text entirely because you made a modern text for yourself so that you can
relate
to the text. Mm-hmm. But what doesn't has nothing to do anymore with the Aramaic text, I suppose.
Look, this is a problematic text. The rabbis have always been against this text. Mm. Rabbis never want it. Mm. Because they say, this is a legal act which we shouldn't do. The congregation of the Chazanim have always won, because the melody is more important. But you have services work on different levels. One is the very emotional level, music and all that. Totally irrational. And the other one is the rational level. Yeah. But if you say, I have to, with my rational understanding, agree with everything I say in the prayer book, I wouldn't have a prayer book.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the same time, the prayer book is at the same time, it's the most read book in Jewish life, more than the Bible. Right? It also inculcates values and ways of thinking, the whole the world view is all reflected in the prayer book. What you stand for, how you live, all the values. And therefore, the way you formulate things, when you read it all the time, it works on you. So that's also a very important teaching instrument. Teaching, and there's a lot of teaching materials in the Siddur, in the Mahzor. And therefore, on that level, it's also very important. There's another level. And the prayer level, what do you actually ask for? And the old joke of, be careful with your prayers, they may be answered.
Right. And I think it's a continuation to yesterday's lecture with the American development.
Yes.
So when we go to sentiments only, we can have nice feelings by just singing 50 times Hallelujah.
Yeah. No problem at all.
But then, isn't there something?
And you have to find a balance between all these elements when you construe the prayer book and what's in there. It's not a small thing, and you're really working for generations or so. Okay,
I would like to finish with a text just to have it, give it a good end. This is a copy which David gave me at the beginning, and it's a really good poem on Kol Nidre. And I don't read it the whole text, so you can see the whole text in the book you showed, but up to that moment where it becomes important for us, what we are doing here. All vows, promises, and commitments made in your presence since last Yom Kippur and in the years before may be given the strength to keep them. Our marriage vows, may they endure through dark days and through dull days, through fatigue and through anger. May our love prove strong enough and our faith deep enough to last. Our vows to ourselves, commitments to good health, may we take our own lives seriously enough to heed them, keeping our promises in the way we eat and drink, the way we work and rest, and the things that get us angry. The promises we make to study and to worship, we meant them when we made them, but so many things get in the way. This time, may we be strong enough to let our better selves prevail. All vows, commitments, obligations, promises we make, from this Yom Kippur until the next, the real one, may we be strong enough to keep them.